running. Running endlessly. Ryan was running through the pre-dark ruins of some nameless city. The one-eyed youth was down to the last arrow in his crossbow, and the black powder Colt blaster in his holster was empty. Fireblast. There had been so many of the muties, he thought the fighting would never end. Now he was alone, lost in a strange city, cut off from the colonel, and bleeding from the wound in his aching side. Stopping on a corner, Ryan glanced down all four streets of the intersection to make sure the area was clear. Then he gingerly removed his shirt, the cloth sticking to his skin from the layers of dried blood. That bullwhip had cut him deep, but the youth had managed to chill the muty master before the Coldhearts arrived and changed the tide of battle. Why the hell would anybody fight on the side of the Stickies? That made no damn sense at all. Pulling out his bowie knife, Ryan carefully cut the shirt into long strips and bound the wound as best he could. He knew some shine would help, both to fight infection and for the pain, but his canteen was empty. Maybe he could find a tavern or liquor store in the ruins. Glancing hopefully about, he saw a building that stood out from all of the others. Damnedest thing, the exterior was just as badly damaged as all of the others, cracked with age, and with hundreds of ancient pockmarks, blaster holes from the rioting after Skydark. But it was clean of any ivy or dirt on the windows. Walking closer, Ryan stared at the building and shivered from the oddest feeling that somebody was staring back at him from inside. Was the place inhabited? If so, maybe he could trade for some food or black powder. However, the front of the building was covered with a steel grating, as impenetrable as the Borderville Gate. But on the side of the store was a small set of brick stairs that led to a green metal door. A door on the second floor? That was odd. As he climbed the steps, Ryan saw there was some sort of a symbol etched into the metal, not just scratched into the paint, but actually carved into the steel itself, and then painted over as if to hide its existence. A circle, surrounded by an oval, with a small star set off to one side.
Fuck! Son of a
bitch. Ryan sat up and banged his head on something hard. He massaged the cut and tried to look around, but everything was pitch black, and the world seemed off-kilter. The dream. He had been having that dream again. The empty desertville, the door on the second floor, and that weird symbol of circles and a star. It had to have been years since the last time he suffered through the triple damn thing. Then everything came rushing back, and Ryan realized that he was still buckled into the driving seat of the LAV. They had to be underground. There was dampness on his shirt. He checked himself over for wounds, but it was only mud from their descent. Had they actually survived the fall? Incredible. Thankfully, they didn't seem to be falling anymore, but there was still the background sound of running water. Trying to shift about in the driving seat, Ryan felt something crawl across his face and swatted at his cheek. Nothing there. It took the groggy man a few seconds to realize there was dirt falling on him. But how? Oh yeah, the windshield had been broken. Ryan tried to listen past the splashing water. Okay, some of the others had to also be alive. Good. But they were probably hurt, and any one of them could have been killed in the landslide. Trying not to think about that, Ryan struggled to get out of the tilted seat and found that the Steyr had somehow become tangled with the steering yoke, trapped by his own long blaster. He forced his hands to reach behind his shoulders and then finally reached the strap and clumsily got the buckle released. The Steyr promptly came loose and started to slip out the broken window.
Oh, shit!
Ryan made a desperate grab for the weapon, but it sailed free and disappeared into the darkness. But the sound of its impact outside told him that the wag had to be in some kind of a cavern or underground passage. There was no way of telling at the moment, and he had much more pressing problems. Fumbling his hands along the dashboard, Ryan found the controls for the interior lights and flipped the switches, but there was no response. Either the tubes were busted or the wiring was ripped. If the nuke batteries had broken open, then the whole chassis would have been electrified and everybody killed. Rummaging in his jacket pocket, Ryan found his butane lighter and pulled it free, then paused. Okay, the air was clear of gas fumes, no chance of roasting themselves alive from a fuel spill. Satisfied, he thumbed the butane lighter alive, the tiny flame a welcome sight. Turning the wheel to the stop, Ryan made the blue flame grow inches high, casting a moonlight glow around the interior of the angled wag. With her thick hair hanging limply across her face, Christy was slumped over in the navigator seat, an arm sticking out the smashed side window. Reaching out slowly, Ryan gingerly touched her exposed throat and sighed in relief when he felt a strong pulse. She was just unconscious.
Anybody alive?
Maybe.
Extinguishing the lighter, Ryan tucked it away, knowing this next action would require both hands. Fighting his way free from the seat, Ryan found the footing tricky on the slanted floor, and as he moved, the armor wag shifted position slightly. The ground had to still be settling, or else they were simply on a slope and about to plunge into an abyss again. There was a tow line and winch on the front of the APC that might stop the wag, if he could get outside without starting an avalanche, and if he could find something to attach the line to. He'd have to take it easy, or else he might send them all straight to the bottom of who knew what. It was a miracle they were still sucking air, and he damn well knew for a fact the universe never gave you two miracles in a row.
Dark night, my head. Millie, you okay?
Been better. Ooh.
Mildred checked over her body for any damage. No bones seemed broken, and there was no feeling of numbness to indicate a major trauma. That was good news.
Where are you?
Reaching out for JB, Mildred encountered only air until touching his glasses.
Ah!
He took her hand and gave it a reassuring squeeze. The two shared a private moment in the Stygian blackness, each celebrating that the other was still alive. Ryan's one-eyed face was grim in the flickering light of the butane lighter. Mildred and JB shared a nod, acknowledging their amazing luck. Now looking around, Mildred could see that the LAV was tilted backward and canted slightly to the left. Ammo boxes and fuel cans were tumbled together, muddy shards of bulletproof glass lying everywhere and reflecting a rainbow of colors.
What happened?
The armored personnel carrier wasn't on an even keel, and Mildred's stomach was very unhappy about the unorthodox position. Ryan held on to the rim of a Gren bin, the gray duct tape bulging from the pile of military spheres inside.
We survived.
Only in the sense that a motherfucking tapeworm survives in the infested shit of a syphilitic camel. That's pretty good, Doc. Never heard that last one before. A camel, you say?
Doc pushed a bedroll off his chest.
Yeah, indeed. It was a particular favorite of my old host, Court Strasser. Especially when he was torturing me. And what is our current status, my dear Ryan? Are we buried alive?
Can't tell yet. I'll let you know.
Ryan then stopped at the sight of Jack. He was slumped over in his jump seat, blood matted in his white hair.
Millie, Jack's hurt.
So I see. Get me out of this.
Mildred struggled with the seatbelt.
Goddamn buckle is jammed or something.
Drawing his punga, Ryan cut the position loose, and she crawled like a crab across the piles of jumbled supplies to reach the still team. Curiously, Ryan stared at the shiny length of the curved blade. Punga? Didn't he just have a buoy? No, wait. That was just the dream. Damn thing felt so real sometimes he got confused when he awoke, not sure which was real and which was the dream. He sheathed the blade. Old battles didn't matter. The Muti Wars had been over for decades. Easing out of his jump seat, JB immediately lost his hat, the fedora fluttering down to land on the closed rear door amid a surplus of random items. JB grabbed the hammock and hauled himself in the other direction, pawing through the cartons, boxes, and bags. Removing the tunnel brick that was lying on Jack's shoulder, Mildred gently probed the scalp wound with her fingertips and found no serious damage. A couple of stitches should fix the teenager just fine. Unless he had a concussion, but there was nothing she could do about that. CAT scans and x-rays were as long gone as pizza delivery and cable TV. Looking around in the dim light, Mildred found her medkit and got to work. Sitting nearby, Doc flicked his own butane lighter into life to aid with the medical administrations, and soon the teen sharply sat bolt upright.
Shit. Get nuked?
Close enough. The tunnel collapsed.
Mildred threaded a new length of fishing line into the upholstery needle.
Now, be still. I'm not done with the stitching. You have a nasty scalp wound.
I know that.
Jack looked sullenly away from the curved length of needle-sharp steel in her hand. He glanced about, his red eyes going wide.
How the wag?
We don't know yet, but Ryan is going to do a wreck.
Good.
Ah! I said to sit still!
A third butane flame appeared, brightening the interior of the war wag considerably.
I love her.
Christie's hair flexed weakly around her pale face. Impulsively, Ryan extended an arm, but she was just out of reach.
You okay?
Just fine. Gaia must have been with us today.
Not all the time she wasn't. Just at the end.
Where it counted the most.
If you say so.
Finding a canteen, Ryan took a long drink, then passed it to the others. By the time it came back, the container was empty, but everybody had stopped coughing. Good enough for now. Bracing his boot against the gunport, Ryan awkwardly walked down the inside of the wag, stepping from gunnery chair to the fuel can to a cardboard box full of MRE packs, then landing solidly on the closed rear door. Waiting for any movement from the wag, Ryan relaxed a bit when nothing happened. Then he kicked off the latch. As the hatch swung free, loose items began to rain out, clattering down onto what sounded like bare stones. But then there came a couple of splashes. Doc held out his ebony stick.
Here!
Accepting the sheathed sword, Ryan wedged it into place as a prop to hold the hatch open, and shook the stick a few times to make sure the lid wouldn't slam back down onto somebody's hand or head. That much steel would remove fingers faster than an angry baron.
Ah, muty shit. Nuke lamp is dead.
All three of them?
Just a minute.
But it was a lot quicker than that when a searing beam of electric brilliance split the darkness. The companions were temporarily blinded and covered their eyes. The interior of the war wag was now illuminated brighter than daylight, as the white beam reflected off the seafoam green ceiling and walls in a crazy quilt pattern. JB turned the column of light to shine on the non-reflective surface of a canvas duffel bag.
Sure wish I had a rheostat for this baby. Be nice to dial up the level of light we need.
Jack adjusted the bloody bandage tied around his head.
Chew. Better if ground not collapse. Wish that instead.
Yeah. Look, are you gonna die or what?
Not today.
Good. Then lend a hand moving some of this stuff.
Straddling the open doorway, Ryan raised a hand to shield his eye from the glare of the nuke lamp, as JB moved the beam across the wag to finally angle it downward. In the shockingly white beam, Ryan could finally see what was below them. Stones and dirt, the dank earth dotted with canteens and ammo boxes. The sound of the water was louder now, but nothing was in sight. Was the noise another echo? He knew that sounds did strange things under the ground. Bracing himself, he stepped off the wag and fell the few feet to the ground. He landed on the balls of his feet in a crouch, instinctively braced for the soil to give way again and start another slide. But the ground held, and Ryan slowly stood to pull the Sig Sauer from its holster. Looking carefully around, Ryan observed that the LAB was resting inside a pile of dirt on a ledge next to a rushing river that disappeared into darkness. That was when he noticed droplets sprinkling from above like a gentle rain. Advancing warily to the rim of the ledge, Ryan saw smashed bricks and pieces of broken concrete mixed among the stones. When the tunnel collapsed, the debris filled in the hole made by the cave-in. Terrific. There was no telling how deep they were, and there was no way they were going to be able to dig through that mess without bringing down the rest of the cavern. Ryan holstered his gun.
We landed on a rock shelf in a river chasm. Doesn't seem very stable.
An underground river?
Looks like, yeah.
Just then, a bedroll came tumbling out of the tilted wag, followed by a fedora and an MP5 rapid fire. A boot dangled from the bottom of the war wag, and then JB hit the ground.
Okay, lower away.
Then the nuke lamp began to descend, as if by magic. It was only when the device got close that Ryan could see the length of rope tied around the handle. As the lamp slowly rotated on the end of the rope, the white beam swept through the darkness, clearly showing the details of the ledge and the river chasm.
The water must have undercut the exit tunnel of the redoubt.
JB went to the edge of the shelf. In the light of the nuke lamp, the two men could spot stalagmites and stalactites in the passageway.
This has been here for years, decades.
Maybe this was the home of the Guardian.
Ryan shrugged, but then he tensed as a rat swam by, and he drew his blaster once more. Working the arming bolt, JB swung around his Uzi, and together they tracked its passage until the animal was gone. No sense wasting ammo just because they had extra. That was feed thinking.
There wasn't an albino. so there must be some kind of avenue to the surface.
JB started to reply, then broke into a grin and grabbed his fedora off the ground.
Rats are a lot smaller than us. There might just be a crack or old pre-dark pipes.
Then we dig, or swim.
Digging sounds good to me.
The heavy nuke lamp landed. Taking out the panga again, Ryan cut the device free and shone the beam about for a wreck.